And God blessed them, and God said unto them, Be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over everything that moveth upon the earth. And God said, Behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed, which is upon the face of the earth, and every tree in which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed. To you it shall be for meat. And to every beast on the earth, and to every fowl on the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat, and it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Amen. Chapter 2, verse 1. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he has made. Amen. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made.
Amen.
We're going to read again in Acts chapter 7 from verse 44 to 49. Our fathers had the tabernacle of witness in the wilderness, as he had appointed, speaking unto Moses, that he should make it according to the fashion that he had seen. Which also our fathers that came after brought in with Jesus into the possession of the Gentiles, whom God drove out before the face of our fathers unto the days of David, who found favor before God and desired to find a tabernacle for God, for the God of Jacob. But Solomon built him a house. Howbeit, the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands, as said the prophet. Heaven is my throne, and earth is my footstool. What house will ye build me, says the Lord? Or what is the place of my rest? Praise God, you may be seated. We are going to speak about a topic this evening. We know for the last few weeks, Brother Maxwell have been talking about developing this topic on God's dwelling place, God's place of rest. So sometimes it's good to stay in the same line to understand the language of the Spirit.
Amen.
Because when the Holy Spirit is emphasizing on something, it's better to stay on that line and try to go that way and see what the Lord has to say to the church.
Amen.
So we really praise God. Before even we go further, I'd like to acknowledge the presence of Brother Joseph Lanza, because I can't ignore it, him sitting there and me standing here, because I can remember him cold. I was just a teenager when I saw him for the first time, when I saw him preaching, and I can say humbly before God that if I am what I am today, he played a role.
Amen.
A part in what I am become.
Amen.
So I can't just carry on without honoring the man of God sitting there.
Amen.
Praise be to God.
Amen.
So we see Brother Max has been telling us, preaching about God's resting place. God is looking for a place to dwell, for a place of his rest.
Amen.
We saw in the scripture we have just read in Genesis, in the beginning, when God made the earth and created everything, God was happy that his creation was in perfect order.
Amen.
And the Bible says, in the seventh day, he rested from all his work. So the Bible says, God said, let made man in our own image. And when God saw that man was in his own image, it was the opportunity, it was the time for him to go and rest. Because he could see himself, the climax of his creation was when he created man, and he saw that he could see his reflection in man, and he said, this is the time for me to rest. Because the creation was in perfect order, God said, that's time for me. I've worked for 6 days, it's time now to go and rest, because everything is in perfect order. And God was meant to rest for eternity, because everything was according to his will, everything was according to his plan, and he was rejoicing among his people. He was happy to sit among his people, seeing his own image, seeing the climate of his work through the man he had created.
Amen.
But things didn't stay the way he intended them to stay. The devil came and disturbed everything, and sin came and it disturbed God's rest. God was supposed to rest. God was supposed to sit, because Brother Branham says, after God had finished the creation, he gave the earth to Adam. God was the God in heaven, and Adam was God on earth. He was up to Adam to dominate the earth, to give names, and to submit the earth. But God couldn't rest anymore, because the creation that he had made on earth was not in rest anymore. The animals rebelled against man. Sin came and disturbed everything. So God, instead of his rest, God went back to work again. God's rest was disturbed, was interrupted because of the coming of something that he didn't plan in his mind. So God went back to work again, because God could go to rest again until God couldn't rest again until he could see his image reflected in the man again. Because that's what brought God to rest, was seeing himself reflected, seeing his image on earth. He could rest, saying that I have a minor God, I have my resting place on earth, so I could go and rest. But from that day on, God started the work of a new creation to bring back man to that image of God that he had lost by sin.
Yes, right.
So from that moment on, we start to see that the aim, the purpose of God was so tense in him to live among his people, to live among human beings, that he was not in rest. He was trying to find ways by which he could come and live again in the man he created.
Amen.
Are you with me?
Amen.
Am I making myself clear?
Amen.
I know my English is I'm struggling, but if you are in the Spirit, you'll catch what the Spirit is trying to tell.
Amen.
So, God, from that time on, he was supposed to live in man. God was supposed to live in his people. But from that time on, God didn't have any dwelling place anymore. He was trying now to make a way to come back in communion with human beings. He was trying to find a way, because man needed God. Him too needed to live in his people. He was so in a need to do that, but he didn't find man. Sin was in the human being, in man's heart. Sin was dwelling there. And God couldn't come and live in man anymore. So he was trying to find substitutes, way of which he could fellowship again with his creation. We've seen him changing from dwelling place to deal with man.
Amen.
God, in his dealing with man, sometime he said he wanted to live with them, but he wants to be in the midst of his people. He ordered Moses to build the tabernacle. Because if you could find a way, because it wouldn't be God just living in heaven and his people left alone on earth. So he gave Moses the vision to build the tabernacle. Amen. And after the tabernacle was built according to the vision Moses saw in heaven, God came, the pillar of fire came and lived among his people. And it was a substitute way for him to commune, to fellowship among his people. But it was not enough yet, because living in them, living in the tabernacle among his people, there was still no way he could stay in his throne, the throne of God, which was supposed the man's heart. So, even though he was still in the midst of his people, there was no way that man could come in direct fellowship with that God. Sin was still the hindrance between man and God. So, God could live in the tabernacle, but it was not his permanent dwelling place. We could see him at some stage, he could reveal himself in the burning bush. Because he was looking for ways by which he could come in communion back with men again. He revealed himself to Moses in the burning bush. Moses could see God through the burning bush. We could see at some stage, Solomon built him a tabernacle, a temple. God came down and lived in that temple, but it was not still enough. From that time that man fell from his position, God became a kind of wanderer. He didn't have a permanent living place. That's why every time in the Old Testament, when God revealed himself to some people, when men came in a revelation, in a manifestation of God, they couldn't see God settled. If we go in Genesis chapter 4, sorry, Genesis 14, 17 to 20. We don't have the time to read everything. But in Genesis, it's about Melchizedek, when Abraham came from defeating the kings that held his cousin captive. He came back and he met Melchizedek. The Bible doesn't tell us where Melchizedek lived. Melchizedek just came and met Abraham. And later on, Paul tells us that Melchizedek didn't have father, neither mother. There was no way they could trace Melchizedek. He was, I don't know, the Bible doesn't say it, but he didn't have a home to live. He didn't have an address where we could go and find Melchizedek. Sure. They didn't tell us where Abraham found. The Bible says Melchizedek came and met Abraham. Abraham gave him, and Melchizedek gave him bread and wine and left. Mm-hmm. So he was just passing by. He didn't have a settling place. Later on, we see in Genesis 18 that same God coming to visit Abraham. He came with two angels. The Bible doesn't say he stayed with Abraham. He was passing. So we see every time that God tried to reveal himself, that a manifestation of God is seen in the Old Testament. God was not stable. God was looking for a dwelling place. He was so willing to live in man, but sin was preventing him from dwelling in man. So he could come to visit Abraham. Abraham, the Bible tells us that he was a man, he was the father of our faith. God would have liked to live in Abraham, but he came and visited him. He saw sin. Sin was so living, dwelling. The nature of sin was in Abraham. God couldn't dwell in Abraham, even though Abraham was a man according to his heart. But God couldn't dwell in Abraham. He just came, and the Bible tells us, after revealing the secrets, after doing everything, showing the sign that he showed, he just left and went. So what was his dwelling place? God didn't have a dwelling place that time. Amen. He was just seen doing a manifestation. He reveals himself in a certain way, and then disappear and go. Where was he going? We see it again.
Amen.
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 One day, Moses, after God revealed himself into a burning bush, after God revealed himself in many different manifestations to Moses, Moses wanted so to see God. He asked God, let me see your glory. Can I see your glory? God told him, Moses, you can't see my face.
Amen.
Because no man can see my face and live. But I will show you my glory.
Amen.
You'll stand on that rock, I will pass, and you'll see my glory. Moses stood and he saw God's back passing behind him. And you ever wondered yourself, where was God going? Because he was not certain. He was not certain. Moses saw him. He came from somewhere. He was going somewhere. Moses, God didn't want Moses to see his face. He just showed him his back. And Moses saw God going. But where was God going? Where was his dwelling place? God was looking for that perfect image. God was looking to see his reflection, because that's the only thing that could bring God to rest. As long as he didn't see that reflection, as long as he didn't see that image of himself on earth, God couldn't settle. Moses saw him traveling, but where was he going? God was in that work of bringing that masterpiece to existence again. Hallelujah. So, God kept on his travel. It was so hard. It was because if you can put yourself in his shoes, you know, after hard work, after Brother Branham says 6,000 years of work to bring up Eden, the Garden of Eden, and he was supposed to take a rest for eternity, seeing his son, seeing his creature governing, ruling the earth. But things didn't work that way. So he had now started building that masterpiece again. But he had to, because things were not the way they were before. Before he made man, he was living in heaven. There was no concern about restoring anything. He was living in heaven. Angels were worshiping him. And after coming on earth, he made a creation. There was nothing to worry about because he was expressing his mind, isn't he?
Amen.
So, but now, he had to, he was in a very uncomfortable condition. Because the devil, when he came, he said, okay, I've created trouble in heaven. Now, I'm going to earth. His masterpiece that he has just created there, I'm going to make trouble there, and everything will be done in there. And finish him. But the devil forgot that angels are not like human beings.
Amen.
Angels were not made according to God's own image. So, when he came and seduced, when he came and deceived man, he thought that man will be cast out the way him and the angel were cast out, and the world will be destroyed definitely. But things were not work that way. God was not now busy to break his rest until he will see his image reflected back on earth again.
Amen.
Until that day, God will be always God will be always working hard and harder to reproduce that masterpiece again.
Amen.
That's why in the Old Testament, we couldn't see him resting in one place. Jacob saw him. If you go into Genesis 32, Jacob saw him and Jacob rested with him. But if you read that chapter 2, you will see when the dawn was coming, he was begging Jacob, asking him, let me go before the rays of the day. Where was he going? If you ask yourself that question, where was he going? He was always seen traveling. So what was his destination? What was his final destination? What was his dwelling place? After blessing Jacob, after changing Jacob's name, he left and went. To where? He was looking for that perfect place to live. As long as he didn't find it, he was a traveler. In the Old Testament, God was a traveler looking for that dwelling place where he could come down and live again. And as long as that image of himself was not recreated on earth, he was still on the moon. To show that God was still looking for a place to live, one day the prophet Isaiah saw him. Isaiah chapter 6. He saw a vision. He saw him on a throne.
Amen.
One could say, yes, he has found his place of dwelling now.
Amen.
Because Abraham saw him traveling, isn't it? Are you with me?
Amen.
Moses saw him traveling. Jacob saw him traveling. But Isaiah saw him sitting on a throne. One could say, okay, he has finally found his dwelling place. And Isaiah doesn't describe the throne. He just says, I saw God seated on a throne and the angels, and you know the chapter.
Amen.
We could say, okay, he has found his dwelling place, but things were not meant to be like that. His dwelling place was supposed to be in human heart. So, a few years later, the throne that Isaiah saw, Ezekiel saw the same vision of the throne. But this time, Ezekiel gave some more details about the throne. If you go through the details, you'll see Ezekiel speaks about wheels on the throne. Hallelujah. There were wheels on the throne. So, it was a moving throne. It was not a permanent throne yet. He has not reached his destination yet. Even though we could see him, Isaiah saw him seated on a throne, but it was not his permanent throne. It was still a moving throne because he didn't find yet his dwelling place. Because his image was not reflected yet on earth the way it was in the Garden of Eden. Hallelujah. Are you with me? So, God was busy trying to find that dwelling place. One day, he was so desperate. He wanted so to do something, he needed a body to do that. He said, okay, Moses is there. I'm going to enter in Moses. One could say, okay, God is back in his dwelling. God is back in man the way he was in the Garden of Eden. But where one of them says this, in the unveiling of God, the true word, God had wrote it, and it was with Moses. Notice, it was with Moses and was ready to be manifested. Moses had to put a veil over his own face. Why? He was that word. Amen. Until that word was made known, Moses had to veil himself. Do you see it? Moses had the word. Now remember, after the word was made manifest, Moses was Moses again.
Hallelujah.
So it was not a permanent throne.
Right.
He was so desperate. He had a task to accomplish, and he had to do it through a body. So Moses was there. He sanctified his body, and he came just to manifest the word. And after Moses has spoken the word, Moses was Moses again.
Amen.
People could see, look at Moses again. Because before Moses spoke, people couldn't look at Moses because his face was shining. God, the word, was dwelling in Moses. But it was just a temporary residence. It was just a temporary dwelling place. But God was looking for that permanent dwelling place. He was still in the move. He was still busy trying to find that permanent. His image. Don't forget, we are talking about God finding his dwelling place.
Amen.
God's rest. God rested on the seventh day. And today, God is looking for a place. God is looking for that dwelling place where you can come and rest. So, later on we see, God, he was He was so desperate now. He said, enough is enough. I have to end this game of moving from place to place in a burning bush, in Moses' body for 1 minute and disappear, in the tabernacle, in the temple. I have to end this game now. I have to bring man back to what he was in Eden. To do that, I have to calm down myself, because his aim was to leave, his throne had to be in a human body. So he made himself a body and came down on earth and lived in that body to bring back from the fall the man that fell. So Jesus Christ came, born from a woman, to redeem the man that fell in Eden. So we could see now from that time, Jesus, God came and found a place to dwell in Jesus' body. But things were not supposed to be like that. Jesus was a redeemer. Jesus just came as a gap to bring man, because the final plan was his creation as to go back to where God intended it to be.
Amen.
Are you with me?
Amen.
So, Jesus as the redeemer, Jesus was that throne, that temple, where we could see John the Baptist says, I saw the Holy Spirit like a dove coming down and dwelling in him. And God found his resting place. It was not a temporary resting place anymore. It was a permanent resting place. But the aim was not to have one Jesus. The aim was to have Jesus and his bride. Because man has to be redeemed, brought back to what he was before the fall. But when I'm on that, he says in Hebrews chapter 2. Now, after he had been crucified and rose again on the third day, he met with his disciples and commissioned them to go into all the world to preach the gospel to every creature.
Amen.
What was it? Man and God had united.
Amen.
The Logos had been made flesh.
Amen.
And had been killed.
Amen.
And rose again for our justification.
Amen.
And was then anointed Emmanuel forever and ever.
Amen.
God changed his dwelling place from a throne in the space yonder to the heart of his Son, Jesus Christ, to live and reign forever.
Amen.
God was in Christ. He is the final resting place of the Spirit. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So in Christ, God had found his final resting place. Not to be only in Jesus Christ, but Jesus Christ, remember, was the gap, was the redeemer to bring back the creation, the fallen man, to his original position. But I want to keep on saying. First, he was in the heaven above and shining through the stars. The second, he was on earth shining through the Shekinah glory. Next, he came and was made flesh and dwelt among us, still wearing his passions. Then he redeemed man by his blood, came into his church in the form of the Holy Spirit, and speak against. Now, the first throne was in heaven, judgment seat. The second throne was in Christ. The third throne is in man.
Amen.
So, God's throne is supposed to be in you and me.
Amen.
But for that throne to be in you and me, remember, God dwelt in man as long as man was in his image. As long as man is not brought back to his image yet, God doesn't have a dwelling place and God doesn't have rest. So if we want to give God rest today, we need to come back to that image. But I want to keep on saying, what is a man? He is triune. Is it?
Triune
being.
Amen.
Body, soul, and spirit. How many know that?
Amen.
What's God's approach? What is his heart? You remember my message. God chose a man's heart for his control tower.
Amen.
He says, see, God is on his heart. In the heart of man is the throne of God. God makes his throne in the heart. Now watch. What the first part of man? The first part of man is body. Then the next part is soul, which is the nature of the spirit. He approaches now. The third part is man is spirit, and the spirit is in center of the heart, and in the center of heart is where God comes for the throne. God is trying to show us now the requirement for him, because after all these years, the Old Testament, the prophets, the tabernacle, the judges, kings, and all we've seen, God is drawing near now to bring back that masterpiece to what it's supposed to be. He brought Jesus, the pattern through which all the human race should be brought back to being the throne of God again, the perfect image of God. Now, God is showing us now how we will become that perfect image of Christ to dwell, to be the dwelling place of God again as we were in the Garden of Eden. So he says this in the sermon, the unity of one God in one church. He's speaking about the human heart. You see that little part, compartment in man's heart, God made that in there for himself. That's his control room. He sits there to control you. That's his place. That's where he sends his message from, to the control room. And every man born on earth is born in sin, shaped in iniquity, came towards speaking lies. So in that carnal Adamic nature, how can a man achieve anything? Only by true is intellectuals. But when it comes to be a new creature, and the old man has passed out, and the new man Christ takes his throne in the human's heart, then life looks different. Then he starts on a new road from his own selfish motives, till the big idea to make himself something big, he starts his road towards Calvary to recognize God. Then all his objectives, his motives, his achievement, and all that he is, lays in the glory of the cross, where Christ paid the price for human life. Christ is our life. So that's the way to becoming, to returning to being the throne of God again. Letting Christ in your heart.
Amen.
To new birth, because we can't accomplish anything by our own reasoning. Amen. We can't accomplish everything by our own intellect. It's true new birth that God now will come and start by the new birth, building back that image in you and me, and bringing back his image where he can come and dwell again in man. So Brother Branham shows us now being the image of Christ. Because God can rest only if man is brought back to his image.
Amen.
That should be our daily homework. That should be our daily aim. Because God, Stephen in Acts chapter 4, quoted that quote where God says, where is my dwelling place? What house should we build me? What will be my dwelling place? God is looking for that dwelling place. And the prophet shows us that dwelling, God's dwelling place, is in our hearts.
Amen.
So, how can we now make that dwelling place? How can we now prepare that throne for that God to come and sit and take complete possession of his throne in our hearts? That's our homework today.
Amen.
That's our duty today. Because he came for us to be like him. He made himself like us. He lowered himself down so that us, we can be brought higher like him he is. So what's your part? What my part in that? because we should be busy now trying to find out how God can come back in fellowship and dwell in us. We don't want to see God wandering because it was not his plan. And he had made us associates. He had made us because he could do it himself, but he wanted man to be associated to his work of bringing that work, that fallen creature, that fallen nature back to its original state again. So what's your part? What's our part? What's my part in what God wants us to achieve today? Well, when I preach that sermon, Images of Christ.
Amen.
It's a very powerful sermon.
Amen.
And if that's why sometimes when we read the message, we just, when we are not in the spirit in which the message was brought, you may just find it like a message like other messages. But if it's in a certain season, God, through a certain visitation, through prayer and consecration, you go and read sometimes the same message you read 3-4 times in the past, you will see it in a different way.
Amen.
That's why reading the Bible, reading the message, shouldn't be just a ritual, but it's something that comes out of consecration,
Amen.
Out of, you know, prayer and a prayerful life. God will reveal you many, many, many things.
Amen.
So, in that sermon, Brother Branham says, the sermon is entitled The Images of Christ. Therefore, so many times we hear this expression, what is a Christian? Some people limit it to joining the church. Some said, well, a Christian is a church member, someone who takes up the affiliation with the church. I believe that all Christians should do that. All Christians should go to church. Going to church is okay, it's fine. But is that being a Christian? Is that being the image of Christ? Is that being the dwelling place of God? We need to go to even deeper to see what makes you that dwelling place of God. But Abraham says, that's what a Christian does after he becomes a Christian.
Amen.
Going to church, you do it after you become a Christian. But it doesn't mean that because he does it, that he is a Christian. Then some say, no, it's going to church and serving a declaration of creed and being loyal to those things in which the church teaches. And then there are others that say that perhaps packing a little something on them, a little cross or something. And then there are others that believe that it will be burning a candle or some kind of penance. Or some others says, if you pack an image of Christ in your car, so some other people say you need to put a picture of Christ in your car or in your house, it's good. We have images of Christ in our houses. But is that being a Christian? Is that being the image of Christ? But Abraham says, well, them things are all right, but I don't believe that packing an image makes you a Christian.
That's right.
I believe that being an image of Christ makes you a Christian.
Amen.
It's not what we do outwardly.
No.
It's what happened inwardly that makes us what we are.
Amen.
Then therefore, if he is our image and we are in his likeness and members of his body, we should be images like him.
Yes.
Then our lives should reflect the image of Christ. Not in our joining church or in our packing crucifix or our emotion, but it should be in the living presence of the living God that reflected to our lives. So it's starting to show us now what is the image that God, when he said, Let's make man in our image. When God could look at Adam, he could see himself through Adam, what God was seeing in Adam. What was the real image of God in Adam? Brother Branham is going to bring us through now to show us what really means image, the image of Christ that God wants restored so that he can make our heart his throne, his dwelling place again.
Amen.
He continues saying, it's been told by me by authorities that before they had the days of the smelter to take the dross out of gold, take the iron and the pyrite. Am I saying it right?
Yeah.
Pyrite, okay. The pyrite is so close like the real gold.
Amen.
Till it's called the fool's gold.
Mm-hmm.
But the way they got all that out, that they beat it out with a hammer. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We see now how to make an image, to make ourselves the image of Christ.
Amen.
Gold, I don't know. There's no gold in Ireland. But where I come from, there's a lot of gold. So you could see how they treat gold to make it that jewelry that you lust after when you see it, you know, displayed in a shop, to make it, to give it that shininess, to give it that nature that it has. Mm-hmm. It has to go through many processes. Mm-hmm. It has to go through fire.
Amen.
It has to go through beating.
Amen.
Repetitive beating. It's not Amen. Once. And you'll see the goldsmith is not, he won't play games with gold.
Right.
He will take it and give it a serious treatment. You know, hammering it after and after. He says, but the way they got all that out, they beat it out with a hammer. The Indians used to do that, and the old goldsmith used to do it. Beat it with a hammer, and turn it over and over, and beat it until all the dross was out of it. And the only way that they knew that it was down to the gold was when the beater could see his reflection in it.
Hallelujah.
When the good beater could sit there after all, because when gold comes from earth, they would put it here, you'll pass through it. You won't notice that this is gold. People who don't know, if you are not a professional, if you are not trained to notice that, to recognize gold, you'll pass go it, and you'll pick up some other pieces of metal to think that is gold. But the professional goldsmith will sit there and see, this is gold. You know the potential that sits in that gold. You know, through this gold sits my image inside there. My real image is sitting inside that gold. But he just needs some treatment, some special treatment for my image to be reflected in that gold. So he pick it up, bring it in his workshop, put it into fire, first treatment, fire. And fire will help it to melt. And when it melts, some of the first dirt stuffs, only by fire, they will go out by themselves.
Mm.
You need to go through the fire of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Through the baptism of the Holy Ghost,
Amen.
God will come and pick you up from the dirt you are sitting and put you to there in his workshop. Through fire, some of the stuffs will go.
Amen.
Through new birth, some of the stuffs will go. But not everything will have gone by the fire.
Mm.
Because the Holy Ghost, new birth is just the beginning of the journey.
Hallelujah.
Your new birth is just the beginning of your journey.
Amen.
Don't stop there. That's where many people, many Pentecostals, when they talk about new birth, they say, I don't drink anymore, I don't smoke anymore, I don't go to discos anymore, and they stop. New birth is just a beginning. It's just a baby that is born.
Amen.
But you need to feed the baby.
Amen.
You need to give the baby some vaccines to immune him against some diseases.
Amen.
New birth Amen. Is just a beginning Amen. Of a journey.
Amen.
So, God will take that gold and pass it through the baptism of the Holy Ghost, which is the new birth, and from then on, it's the beginning of a process.
Amen.
So many times, we look down upon ourselves to say, I'm nothing.
Mm.
We look at our shortcomings to say, oh, I stole that day, or I did that day, I had a bad thought. And the devil uses that to come and discourage you from achieving this image that God wants to see in you.
Amen.
But notice, realize that new birth is just a beginning of a process. When a baby is born, it doesn't start running at birth. It starts, you know, it's fed first by his mommy, it's brought, is, you know, carried out here and there, and then he starts to crawl, to stroll, and then he starts to put his first steps. He falls down, he stands up, falls down and stands up. That's a journey.
Yeah.
You won't blame a baby, or the baby wouldn't look down at himself and say, I'm a nothing, I'm a failure, because I tried to do my first step and I failed. No. The baby, when he fails, he will wake up again, he'll stand up again, and resume his walk. That's our journey towards the manifestation of this image of God.
Amen.
So most time we are too harsh towards ourselves. Most of the time we treat ourselves and the devil, knowing that he comes and he discourages you.
That's right.
You can fall. We are subject to falling. We are subject to, in this body, as long as we'll be here, we'll have our shortcomings. But that shouldn't be the gate for the devil to come and throw you down. That should be a reminder that you are only a workshop. Hallelujah. You are in the workshop and you are still being beaten up. You are still being molded. You are still being brought to, you have not achieved your full image yet, what you are supposed to be, but you are in the process of being molded to what you have to become. Hallelujah. So, you have to remember that in you, you are the gold. You are that gold that God is working on. You have that potential of reflecting the image of God in you. It's just a matter of being faithful to God, sitting and accept God's correction. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, when I'm continue saying, the one who was beaten could constantly look until he could almost shave by his own reflection in the gold that he was beaten. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It will reach a stage where God, but I want to illustrate it in that way. Let me put it that way. God could come if you want to shave. He looks into you. He sees himself. He says, oh, my beard has gone so badly. I need to shave myself. You understand what Guanabana is saying? So, God will walk in you. God will mold you in a way that when he sees you, when he looks at you, he sees himself. And you have become the dwelling place of God again. You have given God a resting place again when you achieve that position. So to achieve, to go, to move to that position, there are steps. You need to go through a process. A beating is not an easy experience, brothers and sisters.
Amen.
You come to church, the pastor will come, and sometimes you say, this man, I don't know, did he see me when I was doing this or that, or someone told him. Sometimes it's not easy for someone to step on your toes, you know. Especially things that you enjoy doing. It's not easy to give them. But that's the price we have to pay. It's a beating up of the world. We have to come, and as children of God, as children of his kingdom, we accept correction. That's what makes you Christ-like. But what I'm saying, and when the Holy Spirit of God begin to beat us with the gospel hammer, amen, until all the things of the world is beaten out and we can reflect the image of the Lord God, then I believe we become Christians.
Amen.
For the word Christian means Christ-like.
Amen.
And to reflect him. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, after beating, after a long process of clearing us from all the dross, God can reflect himself in us.
Amen.
Then we become patient. I do not believe Christian consists of joining churches or creeds. I believe it's a reflection of Jesus Christ in a human being. And we bear his image. Now, what kind of an image was he? Now we are going to look. We say that we want to be it. But what kind of image was he when he was on earth? Brother Adam says, now, what kind of image was he? He came not to be great, a great somebody, yet he was, but he came as a servant. He came not to be ministered to, but to minister. Our text tonight reflects what he was, because the text where one of us took to preach his sermon, images of Christ, it was the foot washing. When he took water and a bucket, and he washed his disciples' feet. He was showing that it was the lowest job that would have been done that time. It was a job that nobody could be happy to see his son or daughter doing. It was a job that no woman could be proud to see his husband, her husband doing. But Jesus came and took that position. Because what I want to show is that it was a dirty job that time. People were, you know, people, there were no cars like in our days today. They were using horses and asses to move across. So the streets were very dirty with the excrements of those animals. It was everywhere, and when the sun came and beat it, there were dust everywhere. And walking on foot on those kind of streets. Your feet got dirty and smelly, and it was not good looking. And when someone was welcoming you to his house, the first thing he had to do, he had a slave whose duty was to wash visitors, to wash guests' feet, so that they could get rid of that bad odors and get ready for whatever ceremony they were invited to. So Jesus accepted to take that role of washing smelly, dirty feet to show us what kind of image we need to reflect if we want to become him again. He says, he took the lowest position, the most undesirable job that anybody could have. That was a foot wash flunky. And we have seen today that our modern trend of Christianity is, I'm somebody and you are nothing. Oh, it's wrong. It should not be that way. We are trying to reflect Christianity in a wrong way. God doesn't want us to do it that way. We sing the song to be like Jesus. But when it comes to humble our pride and get down like he did, then we draw a line. He says, that doesn't act like Jesus. That doesn't reflect his love and his personality. He came to the lowest, to the street harlots, to the beggar, to the bum, and got right down in the dust with them. That's the Christian life. That's the way it should be to reflect him that way. But today, we try to think that we are different. How far it is from his prayer when he prayed that this would all men know that we are his disciple when we have love for one another. And instead of that, we fast at one another. We despise one another. Because we don't agree on a certain thing. And we go out and accuse each other, sin, and yet claim to be Christians. I know people who claim to be filled with the Holy Spirit, is guilty of such thing, going out and really saying evil things about other Christians, when they ought not to do those things. So, what I want to do is bringing us now to the line of, with the hammer hammer beating now to show us the process we have to go through to be the reflection of that image of Christ. The process we have to go through to become really that reflection of what God wants us to be.
Amen.
He says, today, now brother, sister, when we have that kind of spirit, we might as well get it in our mind that we are no Christians yet. No matter how much we confess it, it's what we possess that counts. We cannot be Christians and not love all people. We might differ with people, but Jesus didn't put in and say, well, now here, all you Pharisees, you are all going to hell, and there's no chance for you because of this, that, or the other, because you are Pharisee. But he went to them, and he ministered to them, and he helped them. He done everything that he could to help them. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That's the true spirit of Christ in us.
Amen.
He didn't agree with the Pharisees. The Pharisees didn't agree with him. But we'll see all along his life, he was along with them. He went to their parties. He was going to their houses. He was helping them. He was helping even the Romans, who were supposed to be the occupying power on that time. Because in the time of Jesus Christ, or in the time of his living on earth, you know, the Holy Land was under the dominion of the Romans. So the Romans were seen as an occupying power. They were not love. They were not light. So seeing Jesus healing, you know, bringing back to life a Roman soldier's daughter, it could scandalize people. How can he help these people? While everybody wanted them dead. So one could say, okay, his daughter is dead. Oh, next will be his wife. Next will be his, brother-in-law. And then all the women, we want them dead. Because they were occupying power. But Jesus came, while there were many dead people in Israel, from his own race, from his own people, he let them go to be buried, but he went and deployed his power to a Roman child. That's Christ-like spirit. How are we guilty today? Let's just have a brother not agree with us. Let's just have a brother leave a church today. Because he's not fellowshipping in this world. This is not church. This world doesn't make the church. The church is the body of the Jesus Christ. And as long as someone is under the blood, as long as someone is still alive, there's still a chance for him. So we have to extend our wings to bring them back. Because Jesus was busy trying to bring these Pharisees. He was ministering to them day after day. Even though they were coming to trap him. Even though they were trying to find a way to condemn him. But he was still showing them love.
Amen.
That's the spirit of Christ. That's the image of Christ that we need to reflect in order to give him that resting place again.
Amen.
Let's love each other.
Amen.
Loving each other doesn't mean only because Brother Nat is in this church today, he's my brother. Tomorrow, we've seen many things in this message. We've seen many things, and it's very sad. People that were very good friends, brothers, with lots of good experience, lots of good testimonies together. But because they don't see things in the same way anymore, even though they are still in the same message, they don't speak to each other anymore. You hear your brother is in trouble because he doesn't come to my church, I won't go to help him. That's not Christ-like. That's not the image of Christ that we want to reflect. Jesus was helping. Jesus went to Zacchaeus' house. People could say, but how come? That's why he was in trouble with many people. They couldn't understand him. You know, in our human representation, we can say, God, if God come on earth, he'll have a white robe, pure white, And you know, and like a pope, you know, like this, and no talking to the harlots. Let the brother just see you talking to a worldly girl. Let them just see you. He wouldn't mind trying to see what was the brother talking, speaking about. No. He wouldn't mind saying, oh, that's a heathen. That brother, he has backslided. Why? Because he was speaking. But Jesus went to Zacchaeus' house. He sat there. He was not passing by. He sat and ate.
Amen.
People started murmuring. Oh no, but he's sitting with sinners. But today, who is a sinner? Who is a Christian? If when you were in your sin, a Christian didn't come to talk to you, would you be in this house today? Many times we put the standard very high. When we were sinners, people lowered themselves down to come to our level to bring us. But today, I won't visit him because they don't ask you to partake into his doings. But go and reach out. Your life will be a testimony. Your life may bring them to becoming also the images of Christ. Amen. Don't look down on someone. It may be that God sitting there. You are just passing by and overlooking the God. But he has the potential in him to be that spirit of God, to be that reflection of the image of God again. Let's change our mindset, brothers and sisters. Let's change our mindset. Let's think like Jesus. Amen. Let's be like Jesus. Amen. Let's be the reflection of the image of Christ again. This world needs us.
Amen.
We have drawn a line. We can't go to reach them anymore because they are sinners. Yeah. I remember there was a brother back in Congo. He had a friend. That friend was a barman. He was working in a disco. So one day, you know, in Africa, it's very, very hot. It's not as cold as here. It's very sunshine, bright sunshine, very high temperature. So that friend of mine is a Mason believer. He was going to a certain place, and that friend of his was in that disco. He called him. His name was Bruno. He said, Bruno, how are you? And the man couldn't leave his post of duty to come and meet Bruno. So Bruno had to go and meet him there. So the brother went in and met him there. And according to brother's testimony, the brother was very thirsty. And he wanted something to drink. So the man, he asked him, can you have some cold water? The man said, okay, I have some water here, but I don't have... According to the company's rules, I can't give you in these glasses. You know, their glasses, we just serve beer and this and that. I have only empty bottle. And that empty bottle was a beer bottle. And it was a clean beer bottle. But I said, okay, there's no problem. Just give me. I don't want to do something. You know, put water in that bottle. And we know. So, I don't know how. There was a certain brother who saw him. So, he was in the disco and drinking from a beer bottle. You know, so, it was that was all. So, we know as a sinner. You know. He didn't bother going and asking, Brother Bruno, I saw you in that disco. You a Christian. What were you doing in that disco? And I saw you drinking what I think was beer. Because nothing proved you it was beer. You saw a beer bottle. But nothing says it was beer. You have to go and meet your brother first. Brother, I saw you in such and such place. You were not supposed to be there, but I saw you there. There were bad music playing. There were bad women sitting there. But what were you doing there? And I saw you drinking something. What was that? Brother, we know could have explained to you. Brother, I was passing. That man, he called me, he's my friend. I couldn't just say, because you are... And things could have been made clear, and they wouldn't be seen.
Amen.
Who told you that that man in the that disco behind that counter can't become a Christian?
Amen.
You remember that girl that Gwarawanam in the restaurant? She gave her life to Christ. She was bad. She was badly dressed and everything. But sometimes the Gwarawanam we try to represent ourselves today is not the real Gwarawanam we need. Gwarawanam could reach out and meet with people of all. If we take all the sermons, many of the sermons were preached in non-message believing churches.
Sure.
All his life, Brother Branham was trying to reach out and bring them so that they could see the light.
Mm-hmm.
We are hiding the light. We are too selfish.
Yes.
We are trying to keep the light to ourselves. The world wants to see the light.
Amen.
Don't partake into their deeds, but shine the light.
Amen.
We need to shine the light. We need them to see. When they see the image of Christ in us, it will give them thirst to become with us. But if they don't see anything to compare with, how will they get that need of becoming like us? Are you with me?
Amen.
So, when I'm carry on saying, brother, I know it's called heresy. It's called fanaticism. But if I had a choice to make tonight, my choice would be to be like him.
Mm-hmm.
I want, if anything in my life, to reflect the image of the Lord Jesus in my life. So, brother and sister, just consider that. Just consider that. We are in a journey. God was in a journey. God has almost reached his destination, which is you and me. God is almost there. God has found his final resting place. But he needs your cooperation.
Amen.
He needs my cooperation.
Amen.
So that we can give him that rest that was disturbed in the Garden of Eden. God wants to rest. God wants you and me to reign on earth. But we are just delaying the process, but not being ready, but not giving him that final rest that he wants.
Amen.
It's our duty, it's our responsibility to cooperate with God.
Amen.
Don't get discouraged. Don't look down on yourself. Don't look down on someone else. Don't look down on your weaknesses. God tells us it's a
Hallelujah.
Process. Amen. We are in a process. We are just a building site. Everyone ever considered a building site? When you go into a building site, you find there's mud here, there's stones there, there's noises there, there's people running up and down. But if they show you the picture of that finished job, Brother Wimo is an architect, before they start building, they'll come and put a billboard showing what that building will look like. When they come and put it there, in the beginning, you just see a field full of mud and grass and, dump field. Nothing good. But when you look at the billboard, from this mud, this will come out. Are you with me?
Yeah.
It's just a building site.
Yeah.
So when you go into a building site, you see, you say, no, no, no. You look down, you say, nothing good will come out of here. There's mud, there's these people running up, people falling, people getting wounded, accident, many bad things going on a building site.
Amen.
You are just a building site.
Amen.
We are still a building site.
Amen.
God is building something in us.
Amen.
That's why our shortcomings, they shouldn't stumble us.
Amen.
If we fall, grace up again.
Amen.
You are a building site. The job is not finished yet.
Amen.
You don't look at the mud. Look at the big board.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Look at the big board. That's what God sees you.
Amen.
God in you, he sees his own image that is on the big board display to show that even if there are tractors going up and down, there are people falling and raising, people shouting, and sometimes they fight on building sites. That's normal because we are building sites.
Amen.
God is in a process of bringing something out of that dirt. God is in the process of producing something out of that mud.
Amen.
Don't get discouraged. When the devil comes, he tells you, look, you did this, 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 and that. Tell the devil, this is what I'm
saying. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Tell the devil, no, don't look at me. Now, look what I'm going to look like.
Amen.
I'm aiming to this. At the end of the process,
Amen.
When God will come, when God will see that I am this way, he will come and he will establish his throne in me.
Amen. Amen.
So we are walking towards that process.
Amen.
Don't get discouraged, my brother.
Amen.
Don't get discouraged, my sister.
Mm.
Don't look down upon yourself.
Amen.
Don't look down upon someone else. Let's love each other.
Amen.
Let's help each other.
Amen.
Let's work towards achieving that goal that God has predestined for us.
Amen.
Amen.
Let's raise on our feet.
Amen.
If Father can give us to be like Jesus.
Thank you.
Brother Branham keeps on saying, I'm going after tomorrow night, after this wedding. I'm going into the wilderness, and I mean to stay there, because way down in my soul, I feel that I need a close walk with God. I don't want just to try to walk before Him, but I want a closer walk with Him. While the Branham Tabernacle is having a revival, I want one myself. I just don't want it to happen in the building. I want it to happen in me. I want a closer walk. I want more of the Holy Spirit in me to reflect Christ in me. I want to be like Him. I know that every true Christian wants to be like Him. That's my heart's desire, to be like Jesus. I want Him to be. He's the example of what I want to be. It will take the Holy Ghost to do that. That's the only thing that can do it. I'm not interested in seminaries. In somebody got to tell to me, I don't care about kissing crucifix or pulling to your heart or saying prayers to the dead. I'm interested in one thing, that more of the Holy Spirit to take over William Branham. I'm not interested in joining a greater church than what I belong to. I belong to the real church of the living God, the firstborn. I was born into it, and I want more of the Holy Ghost in my life to reflect Christ, who I love.
Amen.
I don't care what plane or level I have to come onto to get it. I don't care if I have to go here, go there, be called fanatic, holy roller, or whatever it may be. I want more of His life to be reflected. I'm not interested in the plane I have to come on. I'm interested in the Holy Ghost, so I can be more of a servant like I was. He was the Lord's servant. Never come to be served or ministered to. Never come for He to be ministered to, but to minister to. He took the place of a servant. And if the King of Heaven could do that, and we are the members of His body, let all be likewise. Not be different, but humble ourselves in His presence. No matter what the world's got to say, or the intellectual people think, nothing about that. Just receive more of the Holy Ghost and be like Jesus, humble, meekly, lowly. Take His place, and He will take yours at the judgment. Amen. To be like Jesus, to be like Jesus, all is alone. To be like Him, born through life. Pieces of gold in the minefield, O Lord. Sitting there, O Lord. Sometimes look down upon, O Lord. Sometimes ignored completely, O Lord. But in them, in us, O Lord, sit the potential of reflecting the true image of God. O Heavenly Father, forgive us, O Lord. Because many times we don't take complete care of manifesting this image in this age, O Lord. Bless your people, Heavenly Father. Bless us, O Lord, as we stand in your presence, O Lord. Let us humble ourselves, O Lord. Let us yield ourselves into your will, O Lord, so that you can mold us, O Lord. beat us, O Lord. Let us surrender completely, O Lord, so that you can reflect yourself in us, O Lord. Find your resting place in us, O Lord, because that was the aim for which you created us, O Lord. Come and dwell in us, Heavenly Father. Heavenly Father, we commit your people into your hand, O Lord. Be with us, Heavenly Father. We commit this service and the remaining into your hand. Blessed be your name. In Jesus' name. As we call our brother Wilmore to come and close the service.
Oh, be like Jesus. Oh, be like Lord, we pray for the brethren that are not here. We
commit them to you also, that you'd be with them until we would meet together again. Lord, we want to ask your grace and your mercy. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. As a song as we dismiss.
Of him, they can clearly see, though I want to die.